You're listening to The Natural World. I'm John Cooney. Journal entry, May 29th, 11:30 a.m. Central Oregon coast, Strawberry Hill wayside. An iridescent gunmetal sheen mirrors glints of sunlight from acres of wet kelp blades draped loosely over intertidal rocks. Without the support of pulsing seawater, the fronds of brown algae are lifeless, very slippery, and extremely difficult to walk across. Small waves lap against newly emergent rocks. Cormorants, guillemots, and murres fly in to fish beyond the surf line in the cold, nutrient-rich waters, and then leave again, flying with a sense of purpose toward their island rookeries to feed relentlessly hungry newborn chicks. A harbor seal cruises near shore. Its intelligent brown eyes connect briefly with mine before it disappears beneath the opaque liquid surface that divides our worlds. The combination of a cloudless sky and a calm sea has seduced dozens of tourists to park their cars and explore the tide pools on this rugged shoreline. A minus tide at midday on the Oregon coast is an open invitation to observe a multitude of organisms that seem utterly alien, yet have survived and flourished on Earth for hundreds of millions of years. This rocky interface between land and sea is crowded with a great diversity of creatures in competition for food and space. For a few hours, tidal forces have compelled the ocean to withdraw, exposing pools shaped by waves from a layer of basalt deposited during volcanic activity 40 million years ago. The Pacific coast of North America offers the richest intertidal habitat in the temperate zone, north or south. There are several reasons for this. The upwelling of nutrient-rich waters just offshore, which fertilize both plankton and bottom-dwelling plants, a freedom from ice that can abrade the shore and wipe out resident plants and animals, frequent coastal fogs in the summertime which protect the shore from the sun's heat, and the near absence, for reasons that continue to mystify ecologists, of plant-eating fishes. In the landscape before me, every depression in the basalt shelf has formed a small aquarium. Plant and animal life is abundant and oftentimes so brilliantly camouflaged that it is difficult to distinguish one creature from another. Pink segmented plates of coral and algae coat the side of a pool. Sea stars pull open and eat mussels in slow motion. Hermit crabs on the hunt for abandoned shells skitter furtively across sunlit portions of the pool. Limpets graze on velvet fields of microscopic algae. Hydroids passively mine seawater for food with minute tentacles, while barnacles sweep nutritious bits into their shell-like bodies with feathery appendages. We land-dwelling humans are used to seeing vertebrates, mammals and birds, a few reptiles, amphibians, and sometimes a fish. We have frequent contact with insects and other land-dwelling arthropods, as well as a few mollusks. But this is the only place that we casually come into contact with a host of creatures that most people would barely recognize as animals. If we go far enough back in time to a sudden great radiation of life beginning 540 million years ago, we see a branching of animals that would lead to the creation of 35 basic body plans called phyla. Before that evolutionary explosion, there is evidence that three of those groups existed. Ancestors of sponge-like, jelly-like, and worm-like animals. All animals today still fall into one of those 35 groups that originated a half billion years ago. At my feet, there is a vibrant splash of red encrusting the side of a pool. This is a velvety red sponge. It is commonly found in intertidal rocks from the Gulf of Alaska to Baja California. Why it is so brilliantly colored, no one knows. A sea slug of precisely the same color feeds and lays its eggs only on this sponge. Sponges are clearly on the edge of animalness. But this body plan of ultimate simplicity, an organized group of cells that can feed and reproduce itself, has been a biological success by virtue of the fact that it is still here. Sponges and humans are part of the same evolutionary chain. It is our collective good fortune that throughout the entire history of life, none of our ancestors died before reproducing. Eugene Springfield chapter of the North American Butterfly Association is sponsoring a West Eugene Wetlands Butterfly Hike on Sunday, June 7th. Experience the wetlands with several endangered plants and rare butterflies. Co-leaders for this hike are Rick Ahrens and Allison Center, both experts in natural sciences. Meet at the Red House on Danabo at 1 p.m. The trip will last until 3:30 p.m. To pre-register, call Ellie at 684-8973. If you have sightings or events you would like to report or suggestions of areas you would like to see profiled, you can send me email at John Cooney, that's John with an H, C-O-O-N-E-Y, at msn.com.